Oh, here.
Denise? Here. Brenda?
Here.
Josie? Josie? Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Here.
Warren?
Here.
Paul?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Here.
Haley? Haley?
Okay. We have a quorum.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Alvin?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if my phone cracked out or what. I didn't hear Josie. Sorry. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. So, at this time, we need a... Samantha, did you just come on?
Daily.
I did.
Okay.
Daily, here.
Okay.
This is Sam. I said I was here. I don't know if you heard me.
Oh, I just got names mixed up. It's my fault. Okay, so we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Brenda. I make a motion to adopt the agenda with the addition under new business of COD 2021. Discussion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, second by Paul. If there's no objections, the agenda will stand as amended. This time, does anyone feel like they have a conflict of interest on anything on the agenda? Hearing none. I guess we don't need a community roll call or public comments. Of course, if we have some of the managers there, if anyone wants to make a comment at this time.
Check with Laura to make sure she's never got any emails regarding public comments on agenda items.
Hi, Tina. Laura. No, at this point, I do not have any requests for comments on the agenda.
Okay. And, you know,
thank you.
This is something we're just, first time we're doing. If you do get in here something, maybe you could let us know as we go along.
Absolutely, and just wanted to let you know I did send it out a couple times and in the loop and posted it, and then it's also on KSDP with my email, so in case anyone decides at some point they want to send an email, I'll be looking for that. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We're on item five, which is minutes. We need a motion and a second to approve the
I make minutes. A motion, this is Chris, that we accept the minutes with the amended things that Tina talked about in our workshop. I think they were all related to Gary Henning's comments.
Okay.
This is a quick point of information, Mr. Mayor, just a quick question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wasn't sure from, I did read Gary Henning's comments after the meeting here, but I don't have any objection if that's what he actually said during the meeting. If he wishes to add them at this meeting, that's fine. If he didn't actually say, but we can't add new comments. I was unclear if those were things that he actually said that he just wanted to clarify, or what those were. Thank you.
This is Tina, Paul. I believe that that is what Gary did say. I just shortened things a little bit to in comparison to what Gary Henning emailed me. So I have no problem with those changes.
Okay, thank you.
And if anybody needs to be refreshed, we could read the changes that Tina had written up if that's needed. Anybody feel like they need them read? Hearing none.
Is that a second?
Paul, did you make a second?
No, yeah, but if you'd like me to, I would. You need to, I'll second.
Okay. All right. So, if there's no other comments or changes on the March 12th amended minutes, the minutes will stand as amended. So, before us, we have March 23rd, 2020 special assembly minute meeting, so we need a motion.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda. We get a second?
Denise, I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, if there's no objection, they'll stand as written. We're down to item six, the financial report. We need a motion and a second.
Brenda,
I'll make a motion. This is Denise.
Okay, motion by Brenda, second by Denise. Okay. Discussion, Annie?
Just may I ask back in assembly, before you are the February 2020 financials. We are currently approximately 66% through the year, and everything is tracking to that rate. So I really have no other comments, but if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Question for Annie?
Alvin, earlier I think that Annie mentioned that maybe Ernie and somebody else were doing graphs, too, kind of tracking it along, but I don't know if anybody had any comments on that, or did I miss? I might have misheard what Annie was saying. Annie, did I get that right, or did I miss that?
This is Annie. I'm not sure what graphs you're referencing, but we are, for if you're referencing how we're tracking the budget, or how we're going to prep for FY21, is that we're working on some facts and numbers about what we anticipate the fish tax revenue and our other revenues to be for FY21. Those aren't available yet, though.
Yeah, okay, because I know our cod revenues, for instance, probably didn't come in yet, but I assume you're factoring all that in. So that's all. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Annie on the financials? Okay, hearing none, call the question.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you for that. In your packet, you have the February investment report for your review. We're down to item 7, which is a consent agenda, and it has resolution 20-57 and 20-58. We need a motion to bring it to the floor. Motion and second.
Move to adopt warrant.
Thank you, Warren.
This is Josie Alf, second.
Thank you, Josie. Annie, you want to go through these?
Yes, as Mayor Ostrak mentioned, there's two resolutions. The first one is Resolution 2057, supporting the completion of the Actan Harbor and Sandpoint Harbor Float Projects. This resolution identifies that the harbors are economic assets to the community and the borough, and that portions of the float systems have been completed. Further recognizes that it's necessary to complete the float systems in their entirety so the harbors can function as intended, meet the needs of the communities, and realize their full potential as key harbors for the fishing industry and the North Pacific fishing fleet. These projects have been center points of investments that have already been made by the borough, the Army Corps of Engineers, the cities of Actan and Sandpoint, and for business opportunities that are planned in the future. This resolution, if approved, will be presented in our federal grants as well as our state grants for the Harbor Actan Harbor Float project. Okay, the next resolution is Resolution 2058, approving certain unincorporated communities and their respective Native Village Council and or unincorporated nonprofit entity for participation in the FY21 Community Assistance Program. Every single year, the borough submits their Community Assistance Program requirements and certification application to the state, which is due June 1st. We are estimating for FY2021 that we'd receive a payment of $315,791.49. About $100,000 of that is for the borough, and $15,789 would be for Nelson Lagoon. The resolution approves the borough to kind of be the middleman, if you will, to transfer those funds from the state to the village.
So as this is a consent agenda, question on the consent agenda?
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Justin. Daly.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We're down to item 8. Before us, we have resolution 20-56. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
Mr. Mayor, I would move resolution 2056 and adding the numbers that are not filled in yet, and there's four numbers right in order on the page, and the numbers would be 10%, 55%, 20%, and 15%, and then adding a further, now therefore be it further resolved that the Aleutian East Borough also recommends, and I think Ernie's written up the language. I talked to him on the phone. If Ernie could step in and probably read that, that would be great.
Sure. With, I guess, your additional language, be it further resolved, the AEB Assembly recommends that a simpler approach would be better for disbursements to fishermen using low, medium, or high rankings and using 2017 through 2019 as qualifying years.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second to the motion.
Second, Orr.
Okay, thank you, Orr.
Mr. Mayor, those numbers are just, if somebody has better suggestion, that's fine. I just threw some numbers out to maybe move the discussion along. If somebody wants to amend those, that'd be fine.
Okay. So before we go into discussion on it, since we have the motion is on the floor and seconded, Ernie, did you have anything you wanted to add from staff?
Sure. Just quickly, we had a good discussion at the workshop, and it kind of Paul brought some good numbers, I think, that related to the discussion. Just this is timely because the state has asked for recommendations on the 2018 PCOD disaster funds. They didn't ask necessarily, the state didn't necessarily ask before other funding opportunities, so these recommendations are due tomorrow, so it'd be great if the Assembly passes something. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the Assembly?
Mr. Mayor, this is Carol. What were those percents again? Could somebody just read them back real quick?
They were from the top. Oh, go ahead, Paul. They're yours. You go ahead.
Okay, thank you. The first one was for research was 10%. The second one was for fishermen was 55%. The third one was for processors 20%. And the fourth one was communities 15%.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Paul, for verifying that. Any other discussion from the Assembly? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Paul.
I think you said Paul. Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you, everybody. Under item 9, new old business, we don't have anything to bring forward at this time. So item 10 is new business. First item on the new business is Sandpoint and Actan Harbor Float discussion. You want to go ahead and take that, Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll back in Assembly. In the packet is a memo regarding different float construction options for the Sandpoint and Actan Harbor Float project. The borough hired Moffitt Nickel to assist in writing a federal port infrastructure development grant and two state of Alaska municipal harbor facility grant applications, one for Actan and one for Sandpoint. These grants have a match requirement. The PID, or the federal grant requirement, is 20% of a non-federal match, and the municipal harbor grants have a 50% non-state match requirement. The borough is in the process of determining the scope of work for the project that the borough can match while falling under grant guidelines. In order to complete these projects in their entirety, the following would occur. Sandpoint Harbor would include mobilization and demobilization, furnish and install floats, the trestle, gangway, landing float, driving steel piles, furnishing and installing potable water systems, dry standpipes, fire protection systems, electrical, lighting, siphons, ladders, and extinguishers and new anodes. It also includes construction phase services, which would be project management from an entity like Moffitt and Nickel, and then contract administration and other indirect costs that would cover borough staff costs. The cost for this work is approximately $7,120,000, which includes a 20% contingency, which is standard, it's the standard amount we like to build into projects such as this. Acatan Harbor also includes mobilization and demobilization, furnishing, installing the following for Float B, which is fingers, trestle, aluminum gangway, trestle piles, finger piles, the potable water, fire protection system, electrical, and lighting, life rings, ladders, and extinguishers and anodes, and also installing fingers and a potable water system for Float A. Some design and permitting work also need to incur because when we originally built Float A, we didn't anticipate doing the finger floats at that time, and it includes construction services and contract administration as well. And the cost of that project is $12,710,000, which includes a 20% contingency. Administration needs to determine the scope of work for this project, the grant request amount, and the 20% match. In the packet, there are six different options that range from completing the project in their entirety to completing Sandpoint with no utilities and just doing transient float for Float A and B, so no finger floats or anything, and with no utilities. So that's kind of the range, and the other options in between mix things up with doing fingers on one float and not on others, and possibly doing utilities on a float and not on the other system. So with that, the project costs range from about $19,830,000 to $10,720,000, with a 20% match ranging from $3,966,000 to $2,144,000. After discussing the options internally and with Moffitt and Nickel, administration prefers option one, which includes completing both float structures in their entirety. The estimated project cost is $19,830,000, which would result in a 20% match of $3,966,000. Administration's research funding options and proposes the following: using funds that are currently in our financials for Acatan Harbor, that were City of Acatan contribution of $259,000, some funds the borough contributed towards the Acatan Harbor project of about $47,000, using a portion of the FY21 permanent fund earnings, about $800,000 of that, which would be appropriated during the FY21 budget cycle, and funds that are currently in the Alaska Municipal League investment pool account that we have. Some of the reasons why we did decide to, would like to do this in its entirety is because to do a float system without the utilities really does impact the benefit-cost analysis that we're trying to submit for the grant, and it doesn't necessarily meet the needs of the communities, which is the reason. And we would like to have these floats fully functional and avoid having to do MOB and DMOB repeatedly to get these completed. With that, Mayor Osterbeck, do you have anything else to add?
You know, just a couple items for the assembly. So when we, this is the first time we're approaching, I think it's, I might not pronounce it right, but ARAT funding, which basically works with projects $25 million and over. They have been asked by the Trump administration to look at smaller and different projects to help stimulate smaller areas of the country. So after Annie and I had gone to D.C. and talked to these folks, the reason these are both showing up together is we decided we would bundle them to make it more attractive to this type of financing. So one, we could get both of them done, hopefully, and by bundling, it would also take some of the cost of MOB and DMOB away, as everybody could come up on one barge and go from one community to the other is the way we were looking at it. But I've been working with the engineers, Annie, and staff on this, and I think if we can afford to do it, I think the best thing to do is go in and finish both of these harbors. Both facilities are much in good demand right now for both communities. Sandpoint is short on space, and Acatan has had a big influx of fishing fleets out there for the cod, and a lot of those are our local boats, so I would like to see both these projects done. Thank you.
And Mayor Osterbeck, if I could add one more item, what we're looking for from the Assembly is a motion on how to move forward for this project. We're not asking to commit to the funding at this point, but just to give us direction so we make sure we're going in the right way on this grant application.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
So you want a motion that's directed towards the completion of the Acatan Boat Harbor and the Sandpoint Boat Harbor floats. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, so something to the fact that we make a motion that administration or the borough can go and apply for whatever you guys want. Like, we're suggesting doing both projects in their entirety. But
well,
if you guys want
something. That would be my motion at this time to do that for the Acatan and Sandpoint due to the fact that Acatan, we have the majority of our boats go out there for that season, and I saw those pictures of them tied up like that for those days they were there, and other days that they had to be parked out in the bay sometimes because the winds, they had a hard time all tying up together. Sandpoint, I've seen how congested it's getting there. I make that motion to for the administration to go after the monies that grants.
I think your motion perhaps was the first half of your statement, and I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is the motion clear to you, Tina?
Move to adopt option one, Sandpoint and Acatan Harbor.
Correct. Okay, does everybody understand the motion? So basically, we're moving to complete Sandpoint in its entirety and complete Acatan in its entirety. Total project cost.
Mr. Mayor, when I seconded it, I didn't hear the taking of an option. I kind of thought perhaps we, if I may speak to that, it's just that maybe it's a little early to pick the exact option, but picking the project and encouraging the staff to move ahead, I think, is more than appropriate. I'm open to suggestion too.
So back to let's go back to Brenda then. So, Brenda, my understanding was your motion was to complete Acatan and Sandpoint harbors in their entirety.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Paul,
we'll suggest that. No use doing half a job. We'll all second.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments or anything by the Assembly on this motion?
Yeah, one comment, Warren, over here.
Go ahead, Warren.
I know you were talking about $25 million as kind of a low-end cap for the projects that they were funding, and you were like a small one. And if we added our sea float into King Cove, Big Boat Harbor, and our breakwater, we need to stop the surge in there, and that might put you up over that $25 million, and you're guaranteed the cash then.
Well, Warren, what they told us was that normally it's over $25 million, and the Trump administration wanted them to go into smaller projects. That would be the only way we would qualify for this is, you know, we're under the 25, but acceptable. And the way the motion stands right now, I mean, this is outside of that, but adding in the projects in King Cove, I don't think we would have the funding to do our 20%. Is that right, Annie?
Well, correct. And also the other thing, I mean, to be honest, I'm not prepared to present that by May 18th to do the King Cove project. So at this point, I would not recommend adding it just because we don't have enough information to meet that May deadline.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just want to, I sit here and vote for this, and then I just feel that if I didn't speak up, that we do have something over here, and I know you guys are aware of it, but just more or less get it on the record. We got a few things that still need to be done over here, and I know that we're in the starting phases of this, and I wish us well. That's about all I can say.
Okay. Thank you, Warren, and your city manager brought it up at the last meeting also, especially for new assembly members that are probably on, and to refresh some of the older ones on that those projects are still there. So you do have it in writing. Any other comments? Hearing none, question on a motion?
Chelsea?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Yes. Justin?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll keep moving forward on that. Second bullet under new business is a budget discussion. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, so back in assembly, apologies if I'm going to repeat myself from what I said at the work session, but just a brief overview for the fiscal year 2020 and the anticipated FY 2021 budget. As of February 2020, the borough has received approximately 72% of our anticipated revenues. This does not include the payment in lieu of taxes and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife land funds, which we typically get in June. Once we receive those, it'll bring us to about 80% of our expected revenue. And that does not include any other fish tax that we've received for FY20 and any interest on any of our accounts. Our expenditures are at about 57% for the general fund and 51% for the terminal and helicopter. So I do anticipate us staying in budget for FY20 and regardless if we get any additional fish tax or not. So the other item is FY21. We are still working on the budget. The Natural Resources Department and others are trying to anticipate the fish tax revenue expectations for FY21. And with the changing fisheries and the COVID-19 pandemic, we do expect a decrease. Don't know what that will be yet. So that will be presented in May. Of what we anticipate, but we will be rather conservative on that number. In the packet in my report, there's an update on what the legislator passed at the state level for the FY21 budget, and since that time, the governor has passed his budget and vetoed numerous items, which included school bond debt, harbor bond debt, and a few other things. However, he does say that these will be covered by COVID-19 funds. I'm not sure how that will work yet, and we're discussing with Mark Hickey, AML, with Niels, and our DC lobbyist, Brad Gilman, on this. But after talking to everyone, I believe the plan that we will go forward with as of today, which could change by May, is to continue to include the school bond debt and the harbor bond debt as if we're going to get it. And then the governor plans to use the CARES relief aid for school bond debt and others. And Mark has made it clear that after talking to people, it is clear the administration plans to proceed when the funds become available and deal with the consequences later. So I'm not sure what those consequences are, but I'm assuming that would come from the federal level and they're prepared to deal with that. So the plan continues to introduce the budget at the May 14th meeting. and have a special meeting on May 28th for the second reading of the budget. If there's any questions.
Questions for Annie? Okay. Thank you, Annie. So, excuse me. Airline discussion, I'm sure this will be of interest to people that are listening.
Yes. So, just a quick update. A lot has occurred since Thursday, April 2nd. We found out in the paper that ADN was not going, or I mean that Raven, excuse me, was not going to fly any longer to Cold Bay Sandpoint in Unalaska. That afternoon, that evening, Mayor Osterbach and I did speak with Raven, and they said they will not be flying to Cold Bay Sandpoint in Alaska unless the borough or the communities would commit to underwriting the fuel. The next day, Raven did fly, and they posted a schedule that they would fly, I believe, Monday and Thursdays for the month of April. And then as of Saturday, April 4th, no changes, and everything stayed status quo. And then on Sunday, April 5th, Raven did release an announcement that they were parking all of their aircraft, stopping all operations, and laying off employees, and they filed for bankruptcy. So a lot changed in a matter of days in regard to Raven. And then Monday, April 6th, Alaska Airlines released a press release stating that in support of the communities and the Aleutians, as well as the seafood industry, Alaska is working with partners and regulatory agencies to initiate service to Cold Bay with the intention of providing access to Unalaska Dutch Harbor, and service to Cold Bay will be with Alaska's own aircraft. That evening, I did speak with Scott Haberstad of Alaska Airlines, and they did state that they were interested in utilizing the Cold Bay Terminal for operations, and Grant Aviation would then transfer passengers to Unalaska and Sandpoint, which Grant Aviation did confirm. Due to Raven's bankruptcy filing, the Cold Bay Terminal lease is currently tied up in that, and we are not at this point allowed to allow a replacement carrier such as Alaska to utilize that space. But our attorneys, Joe Levesque and Aaron DeBrock, have been researching this, have been in contact with the Debtors Council to see if we can be released from the lease we have for that space and move forward with someone else. We've been contacted by TSA, Security Aviation as well, to see how we can get service back to the region. And I do know Alaska Airlines has also been in contact with the city of Cold Bay about other logistics as well. So along with that, we're working through our state lobbyist, Mark Hickey, on state aspects of this to expedite things once a decision has been made on how to move forward and go through that process. The terminal building is on state aviation lease land, so we are obligated to get state permission to do things with the building. And then we're also in contact with the U.S. Department of Transportation Essential Air Service to discuss different possible EAS items, but I've not heard back from them this week. They're a little busy with other items, and I will keep trying to get a hold of them to get some answers in regard to that as well.
Alvin, this is Chris. I got a question for Annie.
Go ahead, Chris.
Did Raven put any money up towards the lease, or is it just a written agreement right now?
So Raven has not paid, made any lease payments, and they also, as far as I'm aware, do not own anything in that facility. However, because we have a lease agreement with them, we can't unilaterally cancel it, and it is tied up in bankruptcy court.
Okay, so has our lawyers or anything set a time frame? I mean, with it being tied up in the bankruptcy, did they give any time frame at all, I guess?
No, I do not have any time frame to go off of at this point.
Sure. Chris, the time frame will be set by the I don't know if you call him a trustee, but the person that's in charge of handling the bankruptcy. I forgot what the exact term for it is, but they never gave us any idea of when that would be. They've got, I think, according to the paper, they have south of $90 million in debt. So I'm sure they have a lot of people asking.
Yeah, and I know what they tried to do up on the North Slope there, too. But, yeah, I was just kind of wanting to know, I mean, if Alaskan Airlines is wanting to move in, you know, and you know, we got to wait a month or 2 months or, you know, it's going to really hurt trying to get in and out of our area.
And Mayor Osterbeck, if I can add something to that, we are trying to look at different options that we can accommodate them that wouldn't violate anything with the lease with Raven. So we are looking into different options. I just don't have anything to present at this point in time.
Mr. Mayor, I think I'm with Chris on it. I don't think they have much footing at all. I think with a little legal action, we can get that lease released. And it was almost like fraudulent use of the lease. And if it's tied up in bankruptcy, I don't think the bankruptcy trustee or a judge would agree. They think it's worth some kind of legal action to solve that. Thank you.
Yeah, Paul, we're moving ahead with it, with the attorneys, going through all the legal hoops that we have to go through, but that is our destination, is to just get this released so we can work with Alaska to put them in their hole. But in the meantime, if we can't, this is not going to hold up them being able to do it. We've got other options in the building that we can use in the short term. So we're where we need to be right now as far as we can, other than waiting for the court. With North Slope, it didn't work out too well. So we don't want to go that way either.
Mr. Mayor, there's one other problem too. That terminal isn't very big. I don't know if planes aren't flying in Alaska Airlines. It's worthy of more discussion with them on how that's all going to work. I don't know if the school's still available. But and I did hear they're coming up next week. Of course, we don't have anybody to go over. I guess we get an airport manager to talk to them. I guess we still do. I'm sure everybody's interested in following up on it. You know, Sandpoint's a little different situation because Raven owns a terminal there, and but Kobe, it's our terminal, so it's different. But I know everybody wants to keep up to date on it. I certainly do. Thank you.
No, as I said, we're moving forward. You know, for whatever time frame that Alaska comes up with, I'm sure we'll be able to adapt to it. Even if we can't use the dedicated space for Raven for a short term, but because they really don't have an investment, they don't have a dollar invested in it right now, except for the lease, which the lease kind of froze everything. But other than that, when it goes before a hearing, we're pretty confident that they should release it, knowing that there's nothing in there that belongs to Raven that they could help make the debt whole. You know what I mean? There's nothing in there for them to take and auction off or sell. It's just an empty shell. So we're just hoping that this all turns out right in short order. And like I said, in the meantime, we'll get them in there when they're ready to come. Any other questions on the airline?
Yeah, Mayor, this is an assembly. This is Daly.
Hi, Daly.
So I just have a quick question. I always get a little confused about the school building, but does the borough still owns the school building, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, And then another thing is, if they do, you know, if Alaska Airlines does come in here, and this is what I heard, that they're still going to come in this next week with charters, but I don't know how that's going to work. It's just, I know we're still talking to them and stuff, and, you know, if the weather goes down in Dutch or, you know, wherever they're bringing people for, where we're going to put them, just all kinds of stuff. But, you know, once they do start coming in, they're going to need a lot more spaces and buildings and stuff than we have right now. So looking at the school, you know, trying to get something fixed up with it or going with it would be probably a good idea in the long run.
Okay. Annie, you want to take that? You've been dealing with the school issue.
I mean, other than, yeah, I'd have to look into that a little bit more, and it's going to take quite a bit of work to get that school building up to house people or do anything like that, and once again, that is on state aviation lease land, so anything we do has to be ran through the state. So we can look into that, but I really don't have any other comments and can't commit to anything at this point.
Thank you.
Alvin, this is Chris again.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I agree with what Daly's saying. Alaska Airlines coming in with these charters, and then if they can't get it done, you know, I mean, Alaska Airlines coming in with these charters, and if they can't get down Alaska, you know, it's going to put a real burden on Cold Bay, and maybe there's something that we could work out with on Alaska too, or these processing plants that they can help with maybe some of that financial burden, because I know Cold Bay is not going to be able to handle. You know, that. So just some things to look into.
Yeah, thank you for that. Other comments? Okay. Anyway, Annie is working real hard with, she's got a good working relationship with Alaska. Annie's also been working with administration in Alaska. Because we're all tied together in this project, one way or the other. So our Akutan folks need to fly through on Alaska to get to Akutan. So it's something that's in the works, and I can guarantee you, Annie spent a lot of hours working on this into the wee hours of the evening. So I'm really appreciative for the work that's being done and. For the rest of the staff out there, including Mary, who's been taking some of the other loads so she can continue to work on this, because we know this is something that, as time marches on, is getting more and more important as the season approaches. So, anyway, with that, we added one other item under this, was the cod fishery. Who wants to take the lead?
Let me start, Mr. Mayor.
Go right ahead.
Sure. In March, you also added a cod fishery item under new business for a discussion item, and that prompted the Natural Resource Department to put together a cod discussion paper, which is included under Agenda Item 8 behind Resolution 2056. It's a decent paper. It's long on background. Short actually on options, which I think was the purpose of the paper, but there's some good information in there. I am going to turn it over to Charlotte. She may want to talk about some of the things that we have been doing, also maybe the idea that a fisherman proposed that I think the borough could get behind and support, but it wouldn't necessarily be something we would push. So I'm giving it over to Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. So I guess, like Ernie said, maybe I'll just talk a little bit about what the borough is currently doing. I won't go through the whole paper. It's quite long. It's got a lot of background. So, of course, there's a little bit of information in there about what the industry as a whole is doing to respond to the stagnant funding for the Alaska Fishery Science Center, who fund the core surveys that we rely on. So there's statewide action happening On the borough level, we have a couple of projects that we're trying to get started. I think the first one I'll talk about hits right what Assemblymember Tom was talking about and regarding the cod fishing. We absolutely recognize that that is a concern, and it's something that the fishermen and even the stock assessment authors have been seeing for a long time. So that is the number one thing on our agenda right now. Unfortunately, AFSC was not able to come up with their portion of the funding for this past spawning season, but it's absolutely something we're looking to do for next year, and I will be working with Ernie and the Alaska Fisheries Science Center stock assessment authors to get funding for that project, tag those cod, and really have some data to back us up on that migration between the Western Gulf and the Bering Sea. The second project is a supplementary Western Gulf of Alaska survey. So this was a project I brought up before, but we weren't able to get started this year. We'll also be working with stock assessment authors on maybe designing a supplemental survey that can happen for relatively low cost and can be done on an annual basis using a local vessel. We also just submitted a letter of interest to a grant for a fisherman's data portal. So this is an idea we've been tossing around for a while. The idea is that this would build off of the Trawl-EM project by essentially leveraging the data that we're receiving for that project and funneling it into a data portal that the fishermen would have access to be able to make real-time operational decisions to make their fishery more efficient. So, like, specifically, this would be for salmon and PSD hotspot mapping to be able to avoid those places, and also to real-time track the PSD count and the salmon count as they're coming in as the processor. So that's just been submitted. Hopefully in the next month we'll find out if we get a request for a full proposal. And then also, of course, the Pollock Trawl EM project does not directly tie to cod. However, it was a point of mine to make sure, as part of the biological sampling that we're doing at the plant, we actually included cod as a species to be sampled for length, weight, sex, age, things that contribute directly to the stock assessment. And then, as Ernie mentioned, there was a recommendation from a fisherman that we may want to consider supporting, maybe not spearheading, but as you all probably know, the Pacific cod season is split into two seasons, A and B. The recommendation would be to forego a B season in the Western Gulf of Alaska in favor for just one A season. The A season receives 60% of the tack, and then the B season receives 40% of the tack. The B season usually doesn't get fully utilized. Most serve as an option to retain cod if they fit nice flatfish. So this would give nymphs a guaranteed buffer for the stock, and it seems like, you know, the tack among all of the different gear types is typically caught in the A season, and so it might be a suitable option for all the gear types. We might run into some issues with Stellar Sea Lion, but I guess we could cross that bridge if we get there. And I just wanted to put that for you. I do have figures from the stock assessment if anybody's interested in seeing those. And I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Lots of good information. Appreciate that, Charlotte. So comments or other items on this?
Mr. Mayor, Ernie, on behalf of the borough, has been going to the council meeting for a long time. So if anybody knows of a way to work with the state, state's a key player in this whole process, as well as work with the processors, because they're definitely a key player. And we need to figure it out. We're getting short-handed because of budget cutting, that research screw-up, another screw-up. Why? Anyway, our fishermen aren't able to get what they really should be getting out of the cod fishery, and our communities are suffering because of it. And then Mr. Mayor, I think you have the budget authority if to look into a legal, a little legal aspect of a cod fishery and figure out why we can't get the research that we need. They keep saying, "Oh, you're not going to get the research," but they're using us. And it wasn't our fault. It wasn't the fisherman's fault. So, anyway, we need to do something. It's a pretty high priority from my point of view. And I already commented in the workshop quite a bit about it. So, we have to do something. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. I'll work with Ernie on it and see where we need to go with it.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, we'll continue to reach out to our partners in the processing and management and see what if there's any avenue that we can come up with to ensure a fishery in January next year. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, because we'll talk about it, I guess, offline. What if? Other comments?
Yeah, Warren here.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if
okay.
Tommy?
Warren was there first, if he wants to go ahead.
Oh, I didn't hear him. Go ahead, Warren.
No, Tommy, you go ahead. You're fishing yet. I'm just a member here.
Okay. I know, you know, the borough is probably tied on this issue, but I think is that, the communities that are hurting, including False Pass, King Cove, you know, everybody's falling back in their budget. It goes down processing plant and standpoint this winter. I think, the communities as a group or fishermen in the 20 boats that participated in the fishery this year for the state cod fishery, we're the ones that have to go to the Board of Fish in force to try to change something there on that line, on that state water fishery.
Okay, and is that up? When is finfish back up again?
I thought 2021. Is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong.
22 is our, it comes up the same year as our Area M stuff. 22.
Okay. Can we put in a change order request or whatever that's called to try to get it on the table before then?
Ernie?
Oh, they changed the date. Maybe. I'll get with you back with you. Proposals are due sometime in the next month, but agenda change requests can come later than that.
They have due dates for both proposals and agenda change requests. They're both this month, but later on in the month. I was looking at their website a little bit ago. They made some changes. Thank you.
Okay, so in probably one of the other things, Ernie, since you've been doing this quite a while with the council, the AP, and the SSC, do you think there'd be any problem at all if you wanted to do what they're asking, to just change everything to the A season and leave the B season out? Would that go okay with the biologists?
Well, as Charlotte was saying, there might be some stellar sea lion concerns, but as she relayed to me, it would maybe provide a buffer that would give them some more comfort, but I don't know how they would feel about it. But I think, because you've got some differences between gear groups, it really would have to come from the fishermen and with the borough in a support position.
Correct. Yeah, no, most of the stuff, whatever happens with this, the fishermen are going to have to play a pretty good part in it because it's their livelihood. So I think Tom was right that when this does come up, they're going to have to be there. Okay. Anything else on this cod fishery?
Yeah, Warren here. Just to make a comment out of King Cove here, I have the same concerns as Tommy there with our communities reliant on every fishery. We've seen halibut come in with the IFQ, and that took a lot of our poundage away from fishing. We've seen king crab go downhill. We had a few king crab come and go and tanner crab come and go, and now the codfish they said was going away, and then we find out that there is a few fish coming around here to the Pacific side, and then the management council goes in and gives another fishery to the Bering Sea, and then they say they're raising the quota up there all the time, and then come around to this year, they wouldn't even listen to us when we said last year there was fish out there on the Pacific side for our cod fishery. You know, there's some strange dealings going on there that are, I just feel that they want to get us communities the hell out of the way so they could go ahead and process every fish around this area without leaving us out. It's kind of getting disturbing to see us going downhill in our communities. You know, we are out there in the fighting at the fish board meetings, like going on deaf ears here. Now you go to that council, that's the inside water fishery where the guys are fishing right on the one side of the Unimac to the other, and those fish aren't able to get around to the Pacific side, where the Bering Sea guys are saying that they have to come around this side to spawn, so then they go back to the Bering Sea. Well, who really knows that? You know, we're getting mixed reports over here that's kind of confusing us. And then we can't even be heard when we say, oh, there's fish out here. They say, hell no, what do you know? We're out there fishing. So we got to get on top of this here. Bering Sea is just squashing us on this side. Not very nice. I see our community going to the train. That's about all I have here. I like what Tommy had to say there, because the fishermen got to get together. But now when we go to the Board of Fishing, I'm a Terry M. drip permit holder. I got the half of our fleet is Russians. I see two Russians that are in the months fighting for my fishery. That's getting kind of hard to go to a fish board meeting now. So I hate to see that happen with our cod here, because there is a lot of cod out there. The guys went and caught all their fish in record time. So I just had to insert that. So anyway, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's a lot of issues to work with on this, and, you know, maybe on the borough's part, our resource department could kind of, you know, maybe lay out some strategy or a working paper or something that could be passed around to see exactly what folks want to do and what part the borough should play into it, and, you know, to help the fishermen out when they start to organize to go after this. So we'll keep working on it. I hear you. Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Any others? You bet.
I just have one more, if I may. You know, probably 50 to 75% of that aerial fleet doesn't even live within the borough. That's all. I guess that's my comment, last comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Great work with you both. Okay. If there's no more on that issue, we're down to item 11, which is reports and updates with Annie leading off.
Yes, Mayor, Osterbeck and Assembly. In the packet is my report, and some of these items have changed since it was written. But just a brief COVID-19 update. You know, we're in constant contact with Eastern Aleutian Tribes and their CEO, Paul Mueller. And as of today, there are no confirmed cases in the Aleutians, which is fantastic news. So many of you know the governor's declared a statewide emergency. The borough at their last special meeting declared a declaration of disaster, and all the communities within the borough have also issued disaster declarations. And all of those can be found on the borough website under COVID-19. There's a tab there, and you can find those there if you're interested in seeing those. The borough has also been hosting meetings with the borough community leaders, the mayors and the administrators of each community, Eastern Aleutian Tribes, our school district, to just touch base on what's occurring during these unprecedented times, and to touch base and try to be able to ask questions and work with one another during this time with this uncertainty. The borough staff have been attending Alaska Municipal League meetings, State of Alaska Emergency Manager briefings, White House meetings, municipal manager meetings. We've had fishery discussions and others, just so we are aware of what's occurring and all the changing mandates and stuff like that. Laura Tanis, our communications director, has been fantastic at getting information out and in the loop, and also on our Facebook page. For those of you listening, if you would like to, please go to our Facebook page, and there's a lot of updates that can be found there as well. We're talking about the fisheries and trying to just figure out a way with the communities on how to address that, because it's coming here soon. So we are working on different ideas in that. And on April 15th, the Natural Resources Department is holding a AEB Fishery Stakeholders Teleconference Town Hall to discuss the upcoming salmon season. And I'm sure Charlotte and Ernie will talk about that during their work session or their presentation here. And then, of course, we're working with the airlines and others on this issue. So we're really trying to stay on top of it, getting out the information as we can with what we can, but it is changing on an hourly, daily basis. So we're working on this as best as we can and stay on top of it. Also, due to COVID-19, we have determined to postpone or pause two of our projects, or actually a couple of projects. One is the Nelson Lagoon Dock. Administration has spoken with Nelson Lagoon, and we've decided to pause this project until 2021. We've discussed with Moffitt and Nickel, who are engineer project managers on this, as well as HECO Services, the contractor, on postponing this, and we're expecting a plan from the contractor on how we're going to move forward with this and also the real costs that will incur due to the delay. The other projects, the Cold Bay Clinic, due to this, we've also postponed that until 2021, and we've pulled the invitation to bid, and we'll rebid this in 2021 as well. And then also any work on the schools. So this year we were going to do work at the King Cove School. We've decided to postpone that as well, and we're not going to go out into bid until next year or when we feel it's the appropriate time to do so for that work. These were tough decisions to make. A lot of work has gone into these. I want to thank everybody on the staff that's put all the time and effort into this. It was exciting to see it to come to fruition. So this was a really tough choice, but we truly believe this is the best decision to make in the best interest of the communities, the residents, and the borough at large to postpone these. So before I move on, is there any questions? Okay, so another item, the King Cove Road update. Despite the coronavirus outbreak, filing of the remainder of the briefs to the pending litigation with the plaintiffs, the Friends of the National Wildlife Refuge versus the Department of Interior have been filed by the opposition environmental groups has been completed. Even though the federal courthouses in Alaska are physically closed, the federal court continues to accept filings of pleadings online. By March 23rd, all the pleadings required by the court for this case were completed. So this includes three opposition briefs to the environmental group's motion for summary judgment seeking to invalidate the land exchange agreement between King Cove Corporation and Secretary of Interior Bernhardt. These opposition briefs were filed on March 3rd, 2020, by the Department of Justice, representing the Secretary, and on March 9th, 2020, two opposition briefs by the State of Alaska and King Cove Corporation and the two tribes were filed. On March 23rd, 2020, the plaintiffs, our environmental group opposition, filed their reply brief, which completed the court-ordered briefing schedule, with one exception. So after consultation with the State of Alaska partners and with permission from the borough, from myself and from King Cove Group and others, we jointly filed a request for oral argument on March 26th. Granting this was strictly up to the judge, and we did find out that the oral argument has been denied given the limitations on court personnel and gatherings of people arising from the COVID-19 virus. They stated there's extensive informative briefing which will be adequate to inform the court's decision. So timing for the entire decision is uncertain at this point, but it's unlikely that the court will make a decision before the end of the summer. So with that, if there's any questions on that.
I had a quick question now, Annie, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, your report it says you filed a request for this oral argument, which was, I guess, denied. But isn't that something like that goes through the assembly a little bit under legal strategy, or maybe not in this case?
I'm not sure, honestly, if that's typically something that goes through the assembly. But time was of the essence, so we, you know, through our attorneys, that was the best route to go, and that's what we did. And as I stated, that had just been denied by the court. Any other questions on that? Okay. Mayor Osterbach, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. It just got really quiet, so I want to double check. All right. So on to the Cold Bay Terminal. We've kind of talked about this already with the bankruptcy. We're looking at what we can do to proceed with having an airline move in. Grant Aviation, I did speak with them between the work session and this meeting, and the gentleman in charge said that they're about 90% moved in, and I believe they started operations today out of the facility. And then we're still working on a few other things regarding itinerant air carriers. Then there's the legislative priorities. Some of this is outdated, but this is on March 29th, the legislature passed the FY 2020 supplemental and FY 2021 operating capital budget. This has been presented, or was presented, to the governor, who has came back now and made the vetoes that I discussed earlier, which included items related to school bond debt, harbor bond debt. I think there were quite a few others, and many of those will be covered under the Coronavirus CARES Act, and as we learn more, we will get that to you. Another item that we are working on is we issued a full charge bookkeeper RFP, a request for proposal, yesterday, which was to address FY18 audit findings. The intent of this is to hire a person to help us address that FY18 audit finding and to be in compliance with governmental auditing standards and legal requirements. The RFPs are due May 4th, and a resolution will be presented to the Assembly at the May 14th meeting. So we're trying to still stay on top of audit items and other things. I'd like to do a census reminder. I did this at the last meeting. Please, if you haven't already, please do the census. It is extremely important, especially during this time with COVID-19 and others. The more people that fill out the census, the more federal funding not only the state of Alaska gets, but each individual community. So please, please, please fill out the census. We can post another thing on Facebook and in the loop to remind you, but please, please, please fill out the census. It's extremely important. Other than that, we've just been plugging away trying to get the budget done, the FY19 audit, and other projects. It's been extremely busy over the last few weeks. Thank you.
Any questions on any of that for Annie? Okay. Before we go to Mary, I was watching a movie the other evening, and when the commercials came on, I just went on my phone and did my census, so it's pretty fast, simple to do. Everybody should do it, because we're going to be low on numbers probably anyway, the way things are going around here. So with that, Mary?
Thank you, Mayor Alterbach and Assembly. My report is in the packet for your review there. So I'm actually going to start on the Sandpoint School Grant Project and then move to the clinic project. So just a quick update, we're still moving forward with the grant application, and it's still on track to be submitted this year. Emil and I had a meeting with Dow and ECI this week, And they're finalizing the scope of the narrative, and they've presented several concept designs to us, which AML is helping get those reviewed by the school district. So we are moving forward as planned with the grant application, which is good news. And I just wanted to thank AML for his work on this. He's been extremely helpful in providing information to our engineers and facilitating information sharing from the school district. So thank you, AML. So moving on to the clinic, as you all heard, we have decided to postpone this project until 2021. But prior to our decision to postpone, we were on track with our project as scheduled. The invitation to bid, as Annie mentioned, was finalized and posted in late March, but since we've decided to postpone, it has been pulled from circulation. So despite the invitation to bid being pulled, we are still moving forward with permitting in anticipation of reissuing the invitation to bid next year. So as of today, we've received several approvals to construct, which are listed here in my report. And we've also, as of today, we've submitted our final permitting documents for to the state for the DOT building permit. So we are planning on making this project as shovel-ready as possible when we reissue the bid documents next year. And so we're hoping for like a January, February timeframe, 2021, to reissue those bid documents. So we are getting it as ready as possible in anticipation of 2021. So just to close, I just wanted to say I know the news of postponement is pretty disappointing considering how far the project has come. However, Annie mentioned we do believe the postponement is the safest choice for the community and the borough at this point. And I'd really like to thank the Assembly for your continued support in making this project a priority. I know it's been a priority of you guys for several years, since like 2012, 2013. And I'd also like to thank the city and EAT for their work in getting us where we are today with the project, particularly in the last 6 months with getting our MOU signed and coordinating permitting documents. And it's because of everyone's effort, I believe, we'll be well positioned to pick up the project again next year. So the rest of my report just lists several meetings that we've had related to COVID-19, but Annie's already really gone through those. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
One quick question, Mr. Mayor, for Barry. Was there any interest? Advertised for a nanosecond, I guess, but did there appear to be any interest from contractors for the clinic?
Yeah, so we, thank you, Assembly Member Granholt. So we had the invitation to bid posted for, I think, maybe less than a week, maybe just about a week, and we had almost 50 people request the bid documents. So we did have quite a bit of interest, which is promising, especially now that construction season is kind of iffy. So we do believe we'll have a lot of interest for this project once things start calming down and we can reissue the bids in January.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, I'll come back with Shaley. I had a question for Mary.
Yes.
So when do you think, assuming stuff, you know, how soon, you know, for the clinic?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
When will you start, you know, resume the thing again for the clinic, you know, like sending out bids and, you know, to get it going again? How soon?
Oh, sure. Thank you. So our plan right now is to reissue the invitation to bids in January of 2021.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for Mary? Thank you, Mary. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach, members of the Assembly. Please forgive my hoarse voice. I've been busy doing quite a few things. Probably one of the biggest ones has been monitoring the news sites, which, as we all have heard, have been changing minute by minute. For example, during the in between the workshop and the meeting, there was a story published on KTUU that President Trump has signed off on Alaska's disaster declaration. So So hopefully we will be seeing some funds coming to the state as well as tribes and communities. Also, during this assembly meeting, there was a press release that came from the governor that basically said he welcomes Trump's Alaska disaster declaration approval. So a lot of things going on as we speak. Other than that, I've been paying close attention to news that's been coming across from Raven Air. As Annie explained earlier, there was just a flurry of different messages coming across. Some of it was confusing because it literally changed from day to day. Some of it, the last part of it, came across on Sunday when Raven Air announced the bankruptcy. So it's been kind of crazy. So a lot has been going on behind the scenes, and of course with COVID-19 as well. So I've been posting things and emailing as quickly as I get them. So anyone who wants to see some of the latest things that have come across, please look at AEB's Facebook page. Other than that, I've been emailing it to administration and staff. So Tina can send out anything that she believes that the assembly needs to say. There's a lot of course, stories coming across, so I'm trying not to overdo it. Of course, I'm monitoring fisheries news as well. There's been quite a bit of that as well. Also, I've been working with Ernie on sending out information across Fish News regarding the town hall meeting that's coming up, as well as the meeting on Monday that allowed folks to submit questions and so forth. In addition to that, one of the big projects I've been working on is the False Pass Airport White Paper. I submitted the last draft to Mayor Osterbach, Annie, and Mark Hickey. I think it was last month sometime. I'm still kind of looking at documents that have to do with airport criteria, so that if there's any wordsmithing I need to do to be able to help this paper, so that folks with the state and the legislature and so forth will be able to see it more prominently, that I can help with that. In addition, as Annie mentioned earlier, I added some COVID-19 tabs on the state of Alaska, or I'm sorry, on the borough's website. They include information from the state of Alaska, as well as communities and their disaster declarations. In addition, it also has some of the information about community self-quarantine notices and things of that nature. So if there is anything else that the communities would like to pass on to either Annie, Mary, or myself, so that we can put that on the borough website, we appreciate that. And that will at least make it a little easier for some folks if they're looking to find things in one place. That probably pretty much covers it. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, a lot of meetings that I've also listened in on, as well as administration and staff. So I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Laura?
Two quick questions, Mr. Mayor. The false pass paper you were working on, I don't know if we can get a copy. As soon as you can send a copy, I know everybody else is. I'm sure Tommy's interested, but I'm interested too, and other people are too, I'm sure. But I'd like to see that. And then I'm not sure why we're doing a paper on, I didn't know the borough was involved in power cost equalization, but maybe I missed something. Why are we doing that? So if you could refresh our memory a little bit.
Thank you. The power cost equalization is something that I had been in discussions with Mayor Osterbach as well as Annie some time ago as far as a project. I have not worked on that yet, and it really depends on priorities at the administration. But it's my understanding, and I'll defer to the mayor and Annie on this, that it was basically to put out a history timeline so that folks may have information on it in one place. feel free to add to that, Mayor Osterbach and Annie. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, I will. So basically, I had asked last year when they were looking at doing cuts throughout the budget for the state, since power cost equalization was put into place when they had the, I think it's the Four Pool Dam, when that got funded, how the power cost equalization played into that for the rural areas up till through today. So I was starting to feel like with the changes in the legislators since this went into effect, a lot of the current legislators that you have in Juneau, especially ones coming out of the road system, I didn't feel that they took the time to have an understanding of why that funding was there. That funding is, I believe it's just over $1 billion in that fund. So every time the state starts looking for money, that's one of the funds I believe they like to take a look at and see if they can remove that. So a lot of the younger legislators don't realize why it's there. So I had asked Laura to do some research on it and maybe, you know, something that we could put in our folder for when we go visit our legislators in Juneau, that that becomes part of it, things that we could pass out to the legislators so they see why it's there, why it's needed. I think more information on that is better. If they don't understand it to start with, it's easier for them to say we should just remove it and take that money out of that fund. And I believe that fund is one of the ones that are the, you know, when the budget ends, it kind of goes away and then it flips back in. But they have to make that motion to do it. So I think that one's probably something that's pretty easy to lose if the history of that fund goes away. I'm afraid it'll be easier for the fund to go away, too. That answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
And Mayor Osterbach, if I may make one more comment.
Go ahead.
Yes, as far as the False Pass Airport white paper, I have been in communication with Mayor Nikki Hoblit about that, getting some information. And as soon as I am able to get direction, or if Mayor Osterbach, if you, whenever you believe it's appropriate to send that paper to Nikki for her review and so forth, then I will follow suit. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. I will have to get to look at that. I think the last few days, you know, I mean, if I went more than like 15, 20 minutes without a teleconference, I was starting to have withdrawals. So it's been really crazy around here. But I will get to it. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Ernie?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. A question that came up earlier, Angenic change requests are due by August 13th at 60 days before the Board of Fish work session. My short report is in your packet. Right behind it is a flyer for that teleconference that both Annie and Laura mentioned, actually a town hall. It'll be broadcast on the radio, and the teleconference is just for the leaders of the processing groups, the fishermen's groups, EATS, the municipalities. I think you guys all have the call-in information, but we're hoping anybody who's not going to be giving answers to the questions, that they will be just listening online. We're going to try to limit callers in, but if you need to call in, please do. There's information there. On that, I just wanted to mention, you know, according to the state of Alaska health mandates, commercial fishing is an essential service and part of critical infrastructure, and we just want to do everything we can to actually have a fishery. I know some of our neighbors to the north are saying they want to cancel it, but we'll watch what Copper River does. They open their fishery middle of May, and so we'll see what happens there. I also wanted to mention during your assembly comments, if you have some questions that you would like to hear EATS answer or other municipalities or the processors, we'd like to hear those. Charlotte is going to be sending out questions that we have received from the fishermen at our meeting on Monday and municipalities on Wednesday, and those will be shuttled to those entities, and hopefully we can get all the answers next Wednesday, and that's at, again, 9 o'clock on apradio.org or KSDP. As Paul mentioned, the April council meeting was canceled, and they have announced that the June meeting will be virtually only some sort of Zoom or webcast meeting. And then behind my report, I attached a paper that I had promised to Annie. I haven't had a chance to talk to Annie about it, so I won't get into too much detail. I did want to say I'm sure you all realize what an asset you have during this troubling time to have Annie at the helm. She's just been phenomenal, in my opinion. But anyway, I touched on two things that kind of affect the borough's bottom line when it comes to Aleutia, both to do with CRAB. Each year we've been helping prepare the right of first refusal agreements. Costs us a little money, not much, and then also the tax rebates on the CRAB that Peter Pan had to divest and Aleutia picked up on. So I can take any questions on that, and then you'll notice I've been following some meetings. The redistricting planning committee, really boring stuff there, but I figured somebody better follow it. And the Marine Highway Reshaping Group, I guess I'll mention, of course, that the ferry is going to not come in May, it looks like. Probably June will be the first ferry for us, unless they change their schedule. But they did say the Tustamina will be delayed for its first sailing until at least the middle of May, which puts our first sailing beginning of June. And that's all I got prepared. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ernie, I got a question for you. This is Chris.
Sure.
Hey, we got an email from Tina, and I was just wanting to know, without going into a whole lot of detail, on Dunleavy's appointment of the Pebble Partnership employee to the Board of Fisheries.
Yeah. Interesting. The governor made his appointments April 1st, and one of them, Abe Williams, I guess, he's a Bristol Bay fisherman, but he also works for Pebble Mine, and that's garnered a little bit of controversy. There's also another candidate that I haven't looked up too much, but I've heard it's a young person who's involved in the guiding industry. And I don't know. And then John Jensen was reappointed, and that's a real good thing for us. He's been a real friend.
Okay, thanks, Ernie.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to thank Ernie for posting that article from Undercurrent. I didn't catch it till I saw it on your website about potential sale of Icicle and Peter Pan. A lot of good info in there, so thanks.
Okay, Ernie. So,
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Go ahead.
Hey, I had one question just for the processes for that April 15th meeting, I guess, is that are they going to be able to test the workers that are coming into the communities for amoceptical, or how the heck ever you pronounce that word, you know?
Right. I think that's one of my questions already. I appreciate that, Tom.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Ernie. And then the other day I found out Charlotte was here. I thought she got stuck over in some rock pile chasing turtles or something, but apparently she's back here. So go ahead, Charlotte.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. I was almost stuck in Ecuador chasing sharks, but I'm glad to be back, and I'm sorry I have not been here for the last two meetings. It's just been kind of a confluence of things coming up. But I have been working with Ernie, obviously, on that CLOD discussion paper, and I'm just trying to help as much as I can with the preparations for the town hall meeting. it's just been kind of a lot of my normal stuff has been sort of set aside, as I'm sure for all of you as well. I mentioned earlier I worked on a proposal for a fisherman's data portal. I explained it already, but essentially this would be an extension of the Trawl EM project. We would be able to leverage some of the data that we're already receiving through the EM project, such as e-landings, logbook data, things like that, to build a fisherman-centric database and let them basically be the owners of their data. They can use that in a meaningful way for their own operations. One great example would be for salmon hotspot mapping and tracking of PSC. As I noted in my report, it would be a pilot for use in the pollock fishery. However, a portal like this has immense potential to be expanded into other fisheries, into other sectors. And I think one good example would be if we need to start tracking things like cod and halibut. There's a lot of potential for that as well. I'm also sort of in the beginning phases of doing research for a Western Gulf of Alaska supplemental survey, which I already touched about earlier. I think it would be the intention to submit for funding with the NPRB or something similar this year. And then, of course, developing a full proposal for the tagging study that would happen next March or April time. For my project, I am really excited to report that the Western Gulf of Alaska 1 Trawl EM project is finished. I am in the final stages of wrapping up reporting and doing analyses. I'm waiting for some observer data from NIMS before I can do the final report. However, I think it will be done by the end of this month, and I will have that available for you all to review in my next report. Not to get too much into the weeds, but there was a lot of concern going into this past pollock season in the Western Gulf about having enough observers in the plants to do some of that really important salmon census. So last minute, we were able to scrape together two observers for the Sandpoint plant, and I think that went really well. We'll have some more data regarding this past season that I should have for you next month. Speaking of that, I attend a weekly ESP meeting. This is where we discuss all of the metrics for this program, the EM program. And because we have now closed out the first combined seasons for projects, and I will be attending the Trawl EM committee meeting in May via teleconference. I'm really thick in doing the reports and trying to do analysis for how the ESP is helping. I'd like to have some of those data for you guys by the next meeting, but obviously I'll be reporting it at the committee meeting. So just kind of where we're at, almost finished with the A&D and debrief. A&D and data, and I will be holding a debrief meeting among all of the participants of that project. So that would be the whole fleet as well as the processors. And I just want to say thank you so much to the fleet and to the processors and everybody who was involved in that first pilot project. It was a lot of work, but I think that it's been a really, really big asset to the trawl fleet, and I'm hoping that it will also translate over to the fixed gear fleet next year. As far as mariculture goes, almost all of the work on my mariculture projects has been halted and will be postponed until further notice. This means I'm probably going to have to go back and get some extensions from the grant agencies. But I think given the current circumstances, it won't be an issue. But I will keep you guys posted on how in the meantime. I don't have too many meetings that I want to put on here because they're usually day-to-day. But, of course, the town hall meeting's coming up, and I will also be attending the Trawl EM committee meeting in May. And if you have any questions,
okay. Thank you, Charlotte. Questions for Charlotte? Okay. Appreciate it. Emil.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assembly member. My report is there. Not much on it, but I've just been keeping myself busy up at the school and here in my shop, just organizing things. I've had quite a few things dropped off here from the last couple projects that we completed here in Sandpoint. So just organizing, getting ready for this summer, do some maintenance around here at the office here. So since all flights are canceled, got to quarantine everything when you get out and around everywhere. So just trying to keep clean, wash the hands, you know, and doing my social distancing, trying to stay away from people doing whatever we have to do. So that's working with Mary on the Sandpoint grant application, and there's just a lot of different items that they need to be able to try to get better scores, because they go on a scoring system on a lot of stuff for their grants to get higher up on the list. So we're trying to get whatever we can together on that and get forward to see, you know, we try to get up there for some funding to do some renovations up here at the Sandpoint School. Still got the siding project out there in False Pass that whenever we get to fly again, you know, to get out there and do that, or maybe if there's even somebody there that could do it that's interested, that's out there, but that needs to get taken care of as well. And it's about it. Just staying busy, trying not to catch any viruses.
Okay. Thank you, Emil. Questions for Emil? All righty. Before we go to assembly comments, I'll make a couple. So everyone knows, this Sandpoint office, the three of us here are all working out of our own individual offices, and the other end of the building is the school district, and they have one or two people that are working down there, and the door to the building is locked, so unless you've got a key, you're not coming in. We're observing, you know, all the protocols that we can to make sure everything stays safe and everyone can keep working. Currently, I think King Cove, the two that work in that office right now are alternating time in the office for this week and maybe next week. The Anchorage office continues to work. They're basically all working from home and doing a really good job over there. So we're also monitoring the Bristol Bay fishery issues to see how and if the season is a go. Being that, and what's going to take place in Copper River will probably give us a good outlook of what's going to happen, and maybe Copper River starts, it might give us a little insight on how prices are going to go with all the restaurants and marketplaces shut down for fresh fish. So with that, I want to thank the staff for all the work they're doing to keep up with all the changes that are happening in our area due to the COVID-19 virus. Annie, you have been above and beyond during the past few weeks. I know you have been working very long hours because I have answered messages from you at 11 in the evening. Mary has been working very hard on the Cold Bay Clinic project nonstop and deserves a big thank you from all of us for bringing this project to bid phase. Sorry, but we are putting it off on pause due to the virus. To all of the staff, thank you from myself and the assembly for the hard work during this period of time when everything seems to be turned on its head. So with that, again, thank everybody, and we're down to assembly comments.
Hello, this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, I would like to extend a big thank you for myself as a community member and a borough assembly member to not only our staff at the Aleutians East Borough, but to all of our communities. Everybody has been working so hard to make sure everybody's safe from our mayors and our councils and the schools. I mean, they're going above and beyond making sure our kids are getting what they need to get their lunches and to get their homework and their schoolwork. I can't imagine how frustrating that is and how worrisome it is. But to our clinics, above and beyond that, they're going to make sure that the needs are met and medevacs are still going for people who need them. people who have emergency things that they still have to go out for, and then also bringing our people back home who are out there on medical. It's a very scary time for everybody, and for everyone to be getting together, and there's no, there doesn't seem to be people arguing or being upset, or they're just, everybody is pitching in what they can, people checking up on elders to make sure they have food. If they haven't heard from them within the day, people are going house to house, check on the elders, make sure they have masks, make sure that they have rides to the post office. And that's not just from our clinic staff, that's from people in the villages also. So I just want to say thank you, and keep an eye out for those kids, because those kids are worried at a time in their life right now of uncertainty. They've never experienced anything like this. Well, neither have we. So be sure, and if you hear people around you talking about having anxiety or depression, there's always the numbers to call at your local clinic. And don't ever be, people are, I've heard people saying that people aren't seeing people at the clinics. They are. They're open. There's just protocols that they follow more strictly now to keep everyone safe. So just thank you for everybody out there in the borough that's working so hard, people that are working on our state level. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that, Brenda. Any other assembly comments?
Alvin, this is Chris.
Hi.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, again, I want to put a shout-out to the borough administration. Certainly thankful for what they're doing out there, and with the limited resources, but they're doing a tremendous job keeping the borough functioning during this time. I'd also like to take my hat off to Eastern Aleutian Tribes for all the clinics in our communities that they all have gotten ready for if we do have somebody come through with the coronavirus, and they're going to be our front lines, and so we need to take our hats off to our medical staffs in our community. I'd also like to take my hat off to the KSDP and Austin, what he's been doing with getting information out there, doing interviews with some of our legislature and our mayors, and just doing a really good job of trying to get public information out there, as well as what Laura's doing too on the borough side. And I want to take my hat off again to each of the community mayors for quickly coming up with the disaster declarations and the social distancing and the concerns that all of our mayors and all of our communities have with people coming in here from outside of our area. And so together as a borough, I think we can manage, and hopefully we won't see any cases come through this area, but if they do, I think we're going to be, hopefully we'll be all right to handle these situations. So thanks again for everything that everybody's doing in the communities.
Thank you for that, Chris. Other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, this is Daly in Colby. I would also like to thank the borough and all of our workers there in the offices for what they're doing. They're doing an excellent job. I'm really proud of all of our communities, how they're coming together and trying to get this horrible time, which it is, and the clinics for all they're doing, and just everybody for, you know, just I just like to thank all of you. That's all I have.
That. Any other comments from the assembly? Okay. Thank you, everyone. Public comments, if there's any public.
Mayor Osterbach, no comments have come to me via email. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Okay. So with that, that's kind of concludes our meeting. So our next meeting date, the second Thursday, would be May 14th. So a motion to adjourn.